It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Some say it was a hate crime meant to suppress votes and stifle freedom of speech and assembly. Republican leaders say that this is giving them reason to work even harder in these final 3 weeks before the election. Police are still trying to figure out who threw a bottle of flammable liquid into the Republican headquarters near Durham in Orange County yesterday. As you can see, political signs and practically everything else inside was destroyed by the fire. Next to the charred building, this threatening message, Nazi Republicans leave town or else. On Twitter, Donald Trump fired back, saying animals representing Hillary Clinton and Democrats firebombed the office because Republicans are winning. Hillary Clinton also weighed in, calling the attack horrific and unacceptable, saying she was grateful everyone was safe. GOP leaders say the attack could have been much worse.
This bomb went in under a couch where people routinely take naps and rest after a hard day's work. Advocating for the candidates and the causes of their belief.
Now, a bus will be used as a headquarters there in Orange County since all of that building was completely damaged in that firebombing. Now, as far as the Mecklenburg offices here in the Republican offices and across the state, these are all stepping up their security to help protect their volunteers. Live in South Charlotte, Mark Barber, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's what happened yesterday. It happened near Charlotte in Orange County. And, of course, you can see pictures on the side of the building. It says, Nazi Republicans get out of town or else. No one was killed, thank God. But it's getting brutal. Does anybody deny that? We are just an undercurrent of violence that has already broken out in many, many cities. But I believe that, you know, it's there. There's the feelings are so strong. And some, I think of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who wanted to violently overthrow the United States of America. You may not remember that, but I do. And of course, they are strong supporters of Hillary Clinton, and violence does not put them off at all. They are all about it. So this happened. I actually do think it would be a much bigger story if this had happened to a Democratic headquarters. They're sort of downplaying it. I'm also hearing, you didn't hear in any of those television reports, and that's just one that I ask Adam to pull. We've heard Fox was reporting, and I'm sure they all will be today. But I wonder if you'll hear that 20 cars were vandalized with spray paint outside a Saturday rally for Donald Trump. This is happening. What the left does is they always want to accuse their opponents of doing exactly what they do. You know, they've tried to make Donald Trump's supporters. Be the thugs. Look at those people, those outrageous people at that rally. They're terrible and they're violent. And remember, there was one altercation between an older man and a black man at one of the rallies, and they showed that over and over again because that's what they're trying to do, is get your mind off the fact that actually the violent leftists are part of the movement of the left, which is folded into the Clinton campaign. The Democrats are almost seamlessly involved with the left now, and even now we know with the right. And I'm going to get into that in just a second. It's hard for me to decide this morning, honestly, what I'm going to tell you and what I'm going to need to leave out. But I'm going to just hit as many things as I can that I think you'll want to know. There are polls all over the place. Remember, Fox did a poll last week, and they've been telling us all week that Donald Trump is falling behind, and every time they position the report, it's he's failed, and they repeat the accusations. I think Megyn Kelly plays the undercover video, or the off-mic interaction of him with Billy Bush. I think she played it every night last week. And I've remarked about this on the show before. There is most definitely a change, most definitely an attack against Donald Trump and the way they word things. It's all done. He's over. He's making ridiculous choices. And I did notice, if you heard his speech in North Carolina He made several this week, but one in North Carolina. It really was powerful. But that part you never hear. You just hear the sound bites, just what they want you to hear, just the moments when they think they can make him look most foolish, and that is exactly what's happening. It doesn't mean he's a perfect candidate. I'm not claiming that, but I am telling you that the fix is in, and Fox is part of that fix. And I told you Rupert Murdoch is a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton, so that doesn't mean everybody on the network is, but some of our most trusted sources are not trusted anymore. And I'll make that case a little bit more with another outlet that we now know through WikiLeaks is involved with the Hillary Clinton campaign. It's a conservative outlet, and I'll get to that in just a second. But back to the polls, they are all over the place. I found it interesting that a Wall Street Journal, I think NBC poll, shows Trump something like 11 points behind, something like that, while another poll, what is this poll? ABC, Washington Post. Go figure. ABC, Washington Post shows that Donald Trump is he's 4 points behind. Of course, that can be statistically tied. That's according to their poll. It really is all over the map. And I heard Pat Caddell talk last night. And Pat is a Democratic pollster. I have known Pat for a number of years. You may see him on Sunday evenings on Fox. By the way, could I recommend Harris Faulkner's program, which comes on? I find it much more trustworthy. I find the analysis much better. It's, it really is excellent. And that's one of my favorite hours on Sunday evening. And I find that I get some of the best information from that. There was a discussion of the polls and just confirmed how do we know? We don't know at this point really where it stands because we can't trust the people that are polling. So it could be true that Donald Trump is just losing. It's all over. That's what the Washington Post is reporting this morning. That could be true. It could also be true that this is all tweaked, massaged to make you give up. That's also very likely. And that's what Pat Caddell was talking about last night. Because it really is close enough that you cannot be sure. And when you consider the barrage against Donald Trump in the last couple of weeks, it's amazing that he is running as closely, 4 points behind Mrs. Clinton, according to this ABC Washington Post report. So that's interesting. And of course, in the Electoral College, it's much tougher. And I'm going to get to some of the details of that in a second, but I have a lot of other news that I want to fold in here. Are you football fans? Did you watch yesterday? I think Colin Kaepernick played, I think, for the first time since he refused to stand for the national anthem. They were playing in Orchard Park, New York, Buffalo Bills, San Francisco 49ers, and I guess he got kind of his comeuppance. The crowd was not crazy about Colin Kaepernick. They were, they had a sort of a mock Kaepernick built, and they were, the fans were acting as though they were knocking it down. I'm trying to reboot my computer here. Adam, I'm having some trouble here. If you could just check that while I'm trying to talk to you. So forgive me for fumbling here. But he was loudly booed while he was jogging toward the 49ers sideline. They said he was the only one that didn't wear his helmet. He got off the 49ers bus wearing a t-shirt with a picture of Muhammad Ali. I wonder if he had on his cops are pigs socks. You know, you have to remember it's not about, gee, Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick is just is against racism. Well, where aren't we all? It's not that lofty and noble. It is that Colin Kaepernick is aligned with Black Lives Matter and cops are pigs. And so that has to always be said. But anyway, I guess he got kind of his comeuppance yesterday. Well, all right. You know that there are tons of WikiLeaks releases. They continue. Julian Assange continues to leak thousands of them. And it is pretty overwhelming. And I would say before I even get into this, we are learning a ton, no question about it. It's also true that because there's so much of it, it's a challenge to keep track, and it's going to be a challenge for average Americans to, there's just so much that they become numbed to it all. But we're going to give you a highlight of it because some of it is very, very, well, lots of it is very, very important. And, you know, if some of those stories singly in normal times should be very damning to a candidate. But because there's so much of it, it dilutes the impact. But Michael Manuel, this morning on Fox and Friends First gave a pretty good outline of some of the interesting moments. Let's listen.
Clinton spent much of her Sunday preparing for this week's final presidential debate. Fox has learned well-known Washington attorney Bob Barnett is once again helping Clinton prepare to face Donald Trump, and questions from moderator and Fox News anchor Chris Wallace. The Clinton team continues dealing with the daily drip of emails being leaked from campaign chairman John Podesta's account. One reveals intense animosity within the Clinton world for Chelsea Clinton. Longtime Clinton advisor Doug Band wrote Podesta and Cheryl Mills an email in 2012 saying, quote, "As they say, the apple doesn't fall far. A kiss on the cheek while she is sticking a knife in the back and front." The emails also reveal frustration in the African-American community with businessman Frank White Jr. emailing Podesta in February, quote, "The campaign doesn't value black folks and takes us for granted." Then there's the criticism of the Democratic nominee, with the Center for American Progress's Neera Tanden writing Podesta about Clinton in August 2015, quote, "Her inability to just do a national interview and communicate genuine feelings of remorse and regret is now, I fear, becoming a character problem more so than honesty." On Fox News Sunday, Clinton's running mate was asked if these private messages going public has been embarrassing.
So, yeah, look, some of these emails that are leaked, if they're accurate, they show people offering, you know, opinions and mouthing off a little bit here and there. But that's the kind of thing that happens.
Finally, on the leaks, after the San Bernardino terror suspect was named in media reports, Podesta wrote, "It would be better if a guy named Saeed Farouk was reporting on a guy named Christopher Hayes being the shooter instead of the other way around." In Chappaqua, New York, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
All right, that's actually a couple of really big insights, at least two, into some very important things. You know, Doug Band was the head of the Clinton Foundation, and he is reporting that about Chelsea Clinton that the apple doesn't. Now he's friends with the Clintons. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She looks you in the face and she knifes you in the front and the back, kind of just like her mom. That from Doug Band, who heads the Clinton Foundation, or at least did. Okay, so then the second one that Mike just reported, there is so much. They're talking about how Mrs. Clinton shows no remorse. And even inside the campaign, we could only get her to, you know, feel sort of badly about what she's done in terms of breaking the law and hiding, you know, putting classified information that has put lives at risk of American diplomats and spies and undercover agents. Sort of being sorry about that, the fact that she told her staff at the CIA in no uncertain terms that they were not to break those rules, to step outside the lines, those very strong and powerful lines that every FBI agent, every CIA agent, every person that deals with security in this, certainly in this capital and around the world can tell you. They lose their jobs for less, far, far less. So she's enforcing this to her employees while she is totally doing her own thing with her unsecured private server. And there's no remorse. And even her own inside campaign cannot understand why she can't show more remorse. And they're talking about it being a character issue. So those are not, you know, those are not, because how will you ever explain that to someone on a skateboard on the boardwalk in California who goes, "Hey, man, yeah, it's cool. Hillary's qualified." How do you ever explain all of that? You can't. And these are things that people of character recognize, people who are informed, people who care about what's right and wrong, not people just living from one thrill or one personal indulgence to the next, which is the way I think most of America's living. It's just I've got mine, and this is the new generation we're raising. So we have an obstacle, but I have to tell you, I'm still optimistic. Call me crazy. I'm still optimistic. I certainly am optimistic because I know that God is a God of justice. And so we're praying for justice, aren't we? Whatever that means, God's justice is often not what we think it is, but we know that justice will prevail. I'm going to come back with several more comments on the WikiLeaks things because a lot of stuff about the FBI, a lot of stuff about the involvement of the president in all of this is pretty amazing stuff. So please stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios on a Monday morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare. You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Can creationists be scientists? This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on the truth of God's Word. Many evolutionists say that creationists can't be scientists because they reject evolution and millions of years. That's ridiculous. And thousands of well-educated creation scientists would agree with me. Creationists and evolutionists study the same fossils, the same rock layers, and the same universe, yet we come to completely different conclusions. Know why? Because we have different starting points. You see, evolutionists start with the idea of millions of years of change from one kind into another, and they interpret what they see through that lens. But creationists, they start with the Bible's history. You see, it's the same evidence, just two different interpretations because we have two different starting points.
Sign up for Ken Ham's encouraging daily emails at AnswersRadio.com. These emails will equip you to engage our culture for Christ. Sign up at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. In 2013, a small family bakery in northwestern Oregon refused to make a cake for a lesbian wedding. That decision led to a 3-year legal battle, which continues. Aaron and Melissa Klein were eventually punished by the state of Oregon, fined $135,000. That was the price they had to pay for refusing to violate their conscience. Recently, the Kleins were forced to close their beloved bakery for good. Aaron and Melissa Klein faced unrelenting attacks from the LGBT community. Their business was boycotted. They were bullied. Their children received death threats. The Kleins were literally run out of business by an anti-Christian, homo-fascist mob. It's hard to believe this could happen in the land of the free, the home of the brave, but we live in a nation that pledges its allegiance to the rainbow flag, not the American flag. We live in a nation where gay rights trump everyone else's rights. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, making the most of this morning. It's beautiful here in D.C. Makes you remember, you know, this morning when I started show prep, there was a moon way high. There's an open window right where I face when I'm sitting in the studio. It was a brand new moon. It was not a brand new moon. It wasn't, but it was a beautiful, bright moon. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing to think about things greater. So many of us live in concrete and man-made surroundings. I do. I see some trees, but, you know, for the most part, I see what man makes and I don't really think about nature and just God's omnipotence and omniscience and his creation and his greatness that transcends all of these things. And we need constant reminders of those things. And so I'm reminding you, as I'm reminding myself. For those of you up in Michigan, this weekend I'll be up there speaking. I think the Friday night event is filled, but I think there's still some room at Calvin College on Saturday morning. It's not an event of Calvin College, but it will be on the campus in the Prince Conference Center. And Frank Gaffney, my dear friend, president of the Center for Security Policy, who you hear every morning, this guy is the most faithful, productive, he is an, honestly, I could speak so highly of Frank without him being around. I have never met anyone who had the output in terms of volume of information and is really so faithful, honestly, self-deprecating, who has paid a tremendous price himself for trying to preserve and protect America, saying things that people don't want to hear and holding fast to that and really paying, could be a wealthy man doing really big things, a cabinet member, but because he believes in speaking the truth, you know, he's been held in check because the good people are not succeeding right now, and he's one of them. Not that they're not succeeding at all, but they're not flourishing like some that are so eager to compromise, and Frank is not one of those. So he'll be speaking with me. He's a great speaker, as you know. And so I hope that you'll come if you want to. It's go to AmericanDecency.org, AmericanDecency.org, or you can call them at 231-924-4050. That's 231-924-4050 to make to let them know that you're coming. They're taking a head count. And also then, those of you in Houston, I will be down there for the Stand for Truth conference. I'll be hosting it. It is taking place October the 28th and 29th. And of course, this will be about sexuality and gender. And you're going to see there's a really strong lineup. Matt Staver, the Reverend Bill Owens will be there. Robert Jeffress, Dave Welch, who's part of the Houston Five. Jesse Lee Peterson, who, you know, Jesse Lee is the founder of, I can't remember. He doesn't have the name of his organization, but I used to interview Jesse Lee all the time when I was in a different time zone. He's in California, so it's hard to get him on so early in the morning. But I love Jesse Lee, and he's going to be there. So, and there's a ton more. So if you'd like to go, go to standfortruth.org, and you can make reservations and find out more about the conference, and I'd love to see you there as well. All right, so the WikiLeaks leaks continue. And of course, we're wondering, you know, will some have said that they're actually going to leak those 30,000 email that Mrs. Clinton deleted, the worst of the worst, the bleach-bitted part portion of them, that somehow they have them. I don't know if that's true or not, but that would be amazing. I'll tell you one reason it would be amazing is because, according to Andy McCarthy, and Andy, you know, is he's a smart guy, former federal prosecutor, prosecuted the blind sheikh in the first World Trade Center bombing. But Andy says in this article that the reason why now he believes that the FBI went out of its way to do ridiculously foolish, mind-boggling things to stop the prosecution of Mrs. Clinton is that the President of the United States was participating in this scheme using a fake email address and breaking the law just as roundly as Mrs. Clinton. And so, and also because the email that they exchanged, heaven only knows what was in those email. We still don't know where they were the night of Benghazi. We don't know where either of them were. We don't know what they were doing. So why weren't they, why didn't we hear? Why don't we know? So Andy says that he thinks the reason why the FBI did not go further was because it would expose the president, and so they're protecting him as well. Now, you can take that as a defense of their decision, or you can say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be an independent organization holding people to the law regardless of their position, right? So this is real interesting, and I will put this on our Facebook page, Andy's article. It's a Podesta Leaks, the Obama-Clinton email. And he says, with the president's knowledge and involvement in Hillary's private email scheme, it's clear there was never going to be a prosecution. So we'll put that on our Facebook page for you to share, because that's if that's the only story, if that were the only story of this day, it would be major. We'd be talking about it all week. But no, it's just a mention because of the thousands of things that are coming out. Catherine Herridge actually had a report last night. I suppose we should listen to this. Let's listen to Catherine. She talks about an alleged deal between at least some FBI, I don't know, agents, leaders, I don't know, fill in the blanks, and some of the Clinton operatives over altering this classified information in an exchange for some benefits for the FBI. Let's listen to Catherine.
On Fox News Sunday, Hillary Clinton's running mate was pressed on new allegations involving State Department executive Patrick Kennedy.
To your knowledge, did anyone associated with Secretary Clinton or her campaign ask or instruct Kennedy to seek changes to classification of emails?
Absolutely not. I have no knowledge that that happened. Absolutely not.
Late Friday, the FBI sent a third batch of interviews from the Clinton investigation to the House Intelligence and Government Oversight Committees. Republican lawmakers briefed by staffers say Kennedy wanted the classification of at least one email changed in a way that would benefit the department as well as Clinton. And in exchange, there was discussion of more slots for FBI agents overseas. This is a flashing red light of potential criminality, Government Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz said. Both myself and Chairman Devin Nunes of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence are infuriated by what we have heard. Campaigning in Kansas, Congressman Mike Pompeo told Fox by phone,
"It is so representative of the behavior we have seen consistently from the State Department, where every effort was made to protect not our American servicemen in the field, not American national security information, but Hillary Clinton."
A State Department spokesman said this allegation is inaccurate and does not align with the facts. But one of Kennedy's subordinates told the FBI in this heavily redacted interview released in September that he was pressuring State Department employees. Quote, "Kennedy held a closed-door meeting with Redacted and Redacted, where Kennedy pointedly asked Redacted to change the FBI's classification determination regarding one of Clinton's emails." Asked then about the allegation, a State Department spokeswoman read from a prepared statement.
"We strongly refute those claims. We've been clear all along that our Freedom of Information Act review of former Secretary Clinton's emails was a complex and multi-step process."
While acknowledging that Clinton email classification and overseas posts for FBI agents were discussed in the same phone call, a Bureau spokesman said the issues were not connected and the email classification was never changed. The new FBI files could be public as early as tomorrow, when an independent review will be possible.
All right, so that's Catherine Herridge with Fox. You get the drift of it, right? A Clinton operative whose name is Kennedy. Actually, he was the undersecretary for management, Patrick Kennedy, working with Mrs. Clinton at State, tried to talk the FBI into changing a classification of one of her email, obviously to protect her. And they floated the idea of allowing, giving, you know, the FBI more posts overseas. And why would that be a plum? Well, I'm not saying the director did this. We don't know. We'll probably hear more about this. But that those are plum assignments for FBI agents to, you know, be, you know, go to, I don't know, Scotland, be stationed in Sweden, whatever. And so that there was sort of a carrot offered. Now, whether it was taken or not, I don't know. But you do see how, do you see how bad this is and how potentially horrible it can be? If the chief law enforcement agency, the one trusted by the American people, probably the most, can be corrupted so easily, what will it look like under a Clinton administration? Just wondering. So then we know, you know, I played for you last week and you heard it on other news outlets, this repeated a mention of Russia. It was Russia that was Russia, and they're trying to help Donald Trump, and they, you know, they're leaking all these things, and they're obviously trying to help the Republicans. It's Russia, Russia, Russia. And I told you, we don't know that it's Russia. Nobody knows if it's Russia helping WikiLeaks or if some of the other leaked sources. That's speculation. It is mere speculation. And then, of course, they were trying very hard to tie Donald Trump to Russia and alleging that he's a good friend. Well, now we know through WikiLeaks, John Podesta, who was the, again, head of the Center for American Progress, who went to work for Bill Clinton as his policy advisor and now works with Hillary Clinton on her campaign, owned $75,000 shares in a Putin-connected energy company. There's more about this in another article that I have that I'll get along, but he's very, very connected with the Russians. John Podesta. This is what they do. They always accuse their opponents of doing what they do. This is what they always do. And it deflects the blame. It gets your mind off of them and on to the other. And so it looks as though John Podesta. No, let's see. It's John Podesta, the head of Hillary Clinton's campaign. The mind thrust behind her campaign and behind the left in general. He's the one connected to Vladimir Putin and Russia. But, you know, you won't probably hear that. All right, so they're talking about repeatedly. Remember, they're warning us. Remember that Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, said, I don't know how many times, I think I played it for you again last week, that we maybe have to declare election as something infrastructure. In other words, and that particular term by statute means that they could federalize our elections, control our elections. They're actually discussing that, and they're doing it. Why? Because the Russians. Why the Russians are, the Russians are, you know, hacking into our voting systems, and the Russians are trying to help Donald Trump. That's what they're saying. No proof of that whatsoever. And now we know, inconveniently, that John Podesta is the one who has 75,000 shares in a Russian company connected to Putin and other connections as well. So now Donald Trump over the weekend in the last few days have been talking about the elections being rigged, and they're just shocked. I mean, how dare he undermine Americans, you know, belief in their elections? How dare they do it? They put it to Mike Pence on the Sunday shows, and I didn't pull that clip, but Mike says something about they're claiming that he says we will accept the will of the American people, something to that effect, because they're, you know, shaking the bushes to say, all of them getting their marching orders, oh, Donald Trump is trying to undermine people's confidence in the election. And how there's no proof of voter fraud whatsoever. I heard this on Fox, that some study showed that there'd been no voter fraud. I wanted to laugh. Are you kidding me? So I found it really refreshing. When Rudy Giuliani was on with Jake Tapper yesterday, and I actually want to play the full exchange. I want you to hear what Jake says. I want you to hear what Mayor Giuliani says. Let's just listen.
First of all, I mean, I think you would agree with the premise that our form of government has been strong because politicians accept the outcomes of elections, especially the most notable example in recent history with then Vice President Al Gore conceding after the very intense Florida recount. I want you to take a look at what a Trump supporter, Dan Bowman of Ohio, told the Boston Globe. Quote, if she's in office, I hope we can start a coup. She should be in prison or shot. He's a 50-year-old contractor. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed, but that's what it's going to take. I would do whatever I can for my country. There are a lot of Republican officials who are very concerned about Donald Trump constantly saying that the system is rigged, saying that if he loses a state such as Pennsylvania, it's only because it will be stolen. And now we have a Trump supporter calling for bloodshed. Are you not concerned at all about the tone and tenor of these remarks?
I've dealt with wacky jerks on my side and against me for too long to blame it on the candidate. You can find just as many wacko nuts on her side that write us horrible and awful things. So when he talks about a rigged election, he's not talking about the fact that it's going to be rigged at the polls. What he's talking about is that 80 to 85% of the media is against him. That when you look at the New York Times and you pick it up every morning, on the top of the paper, there are three stories that are anti-Trump. Some of them totally baseless, some of them silly. And then at the bottom, you get a little something about WikiLeaks.
What?
Or same thing with the Washington Post. I mean, they're way out of control. The Daily News, clown outfits of
okay,
of
but
Donald
Mr.
Trump.
May, I understand that that's what
and you know that. Please let me finish. You let Nancy Pelosi go on for like 2-3 minutes without interrupting her. The reality is that he makes it clear. He points right at you at the press.
All right, you know, Jeff, let's do hold the break and let's go on to the next part of it because I want you to hear it, and then I have lots to tell you.
He makes it clear who he thinks is rigging the
election. Then why does he call for people to go to elections, to go to polling places, to be election monitors? Why does he say, if I lose Pennsylvania, it will be because that it's stolen? Pennsylvania state that hasn't gone Republican since 1988.
There are a few places, and not many in the swing states. There are a few places where they've been notorious for stealing votes. Pennsylvania, Chicago. There have been places where a lot of cheating has gone on over the years. I know that from my own knowledge of busing people in from Camden. When I ran for mayor of New York City the first time, some people voted 8 and 10 times. And the second time I had firefighters and police officers outside checking on the buses. So we take down the number of the bus. The bus had voted 10 times. And then we wouldn't let the bus vote again. So and when I asked Randy Levine, who's now president of the Yankees, who did this for me, I said, how much of the cheating did we stop? He said, I think we stopped about 75% of it. We're still going to have to give him about 25,000 votes.
So
I'm sorry. Dead people generally vote for Democrats rather than Republicans.
So he's not talking about elections being stolen, except in some cases when he is talking about elections being stolen.
If you want me to tell me that I think the election of Philadelphia and Chicago is going to be fair, I would have to be a moron to say that.
All right, so let's go out now, Jeff. And that's thank goodness for Rudy Giuliani speaking the truth. Are you kidding me? See, they're shocked that Trump would say the elections are rigged, but they feel free to constantly harp on the fact that the Russians are going to, even there's no proof. We have plenty of proof of voter fraud. I can tell you story after story in Chicago alone. And yet they're shocked that Trump would say it's rigged. Rudy Giuliani laid Jake out on that. And when we come back, one of the things they talked about was the co-opting of the press. And the WikiLeaks emails show us really some more shocking things about the cooperation between the press, even some on the right, and the Clinton campaign. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
It's our first liberty, freedom of religion. An easy way to show your support for the First Amendment is with the Freedom of Religion buttons from the American Family Association. They're conversation starters and demonstrate what it means to have religious freedom in America. They're also a way to bring attention to how the First Amendment is under assault today. It needs support now more than ever. Get a pack of Freedom of Religion buttons at afastore.net.
Are you a new listener? Have you just found us and want to find out more about us? AFR.net is the place to go. Information about what's on the air right now or what programs and features are coming up can be found in our on-air schedules. There's easy access to the online store and archives of our programming, so you can discover more encouragement and information than you ever thought possible. Of course, you don't want to forget about our free smartphone app. All of that is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you, the place to go is AFR.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Obama has finally directed the federal government to protect the electric grid against the serious danger that it will be destroyed, and with it, our country, by an expected powerful solar storm. Unfortunately, the new executive order issued last week is long on directives, most of which will be executed, if at all, after Mr. Obama has left office. Worse yet, it's short on actual protection, primarily because no money seems to have been allocated for that purpose. The timing of the president's initiative only served to highlight its inadequacies. The week before, federal regulators issued a dangerously deficient standard for utility mitigation of the effects of space weather. Then, within hours of his order's publication, the Earth was subjected to a significant, but this time non-destructive, solar storm. Maybe the sun is telling us something. Secure the grid, now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
How would you feel if you know that the rap against third-party candidates, if that they are act as spoilers? You would be a high percentage spoiler, but that's in the end what role you might serve, tipping that, this state, Utah, to Hillary Clinton. So. What do you make of that?
Well, the Constitution allows me to run for the presidency of the United States, and that's exactly what I'm doing, Neil. I'm a candidate like they are, and it's a three-way race in Utah between Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and me. And I believe with the support of Utahns that we can prevail here and that we will prevail. So that's what this is about. If anything, Donald Trump is a spoiler for conservatism. He's a spoiler for the Republican Party. It's terrible that here in the state of Utah, he's backed by hundreds of millions of dollars and the RNC, the Republican Party in general, and he can't even beat Hillary Clinton decisively. So that's on him, not on me. I'm the only conservative in this race, and I'm standing for principles that this country was founded upon and that are key to our future. And a lot of people here in Utah and elsewhere, especially in the Mountain West, see that and want to support it.
That's Evan McMullen. He is the Mormon former CIA operative running in Utah for president, who now is in a statistical tie with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in Utah. If the Republican candidate doesn't carry Utah, it'll be the first time since, I don't know what, several decades that Utah has not gone for the Republican candidate. And my understanding is that Mitt Romney, of course, is behind this, which I think is so ironic. Does anybody in the audience remember evangelicals being blamed for not supporting the Republican candidate when Mitt Romney ran? How horrible that was that they weren't team players and wouldn't rise up against Barack Obama because they saw the greater threat. Anybody remember that? I just think that's pretty interesting. So that's what's happening, and they say that it's even bleeding into Trump's support in Nevada. So good job, Mitt Romney, and good job, Evan McMullen, you know, in getting Hillary Clinton elected. And so now, in terms of the WikiLeaks, in terms of some of the things I think that you need to know about this, we are learning more about the collusion of the Clinton campaign with media. So, for instance, CNBC's John Harwood, back and forth with Podesta in exchanges, helping the Clinton campaign. Jennifer Palmieri appreciated Harwood's help when he emailed her the suggestion to look up a certain video dating back to the Nixon presidency that could be beneficial, could be helpful. So several of those kind of posts. Then also the Washington Post White House Bureau Chief Juliet Elperin, telling then Obama White House Assistant Press Secretary Frank Benedetti, helping them, the Washington Post White House Bureau Chief, helping the Clinton campaign, Donna Brazile, CNN, you know, saying from time to time, I get questions in advance. And so surely she must have somehow fed a question word for word to Mrs. Clinton before town hall. And on it goes. But now here's another thing breaking. How many of you listen to Newsmax? You know, Newsmax presents itself, it advertises itself as the news that Americans in the heartland would like to see. And they have, I've heard others, you know, and do they have a television channel now, and people have told me about it. A lot of people are listening. But what you probably don't know, because I wouldn't know either, is that Chris Ruddy, who is their CEO, is working with the Clinton campaign. He is a donor to the Clinton Foundation. And Dennis Michael Lynch, who was a cable host for them, this is what he's saying. He said he was released from his contract after he announced to the show's producers he was going to start digging deeper into Hillary Clinton. According to Lynch, on that final night of his Newsmax cable show, that Newsmax unplugged his show in the middle of his final broadcast as he attempted to out the decision by Newsmax to censor his show. So Newsmax, not so much, if you're watching. And then the observation is made in this article that they are not talking about Mrs. Clinton. They're not talking about the WikiLeaks revelations. And so, you know, it may be subtle. I'm telling you, you know, because Glenn Beck is a never-Trumper, the blaze is, you know, it's, let's just say, it's certainly, whatever it can do to criticize Trump, it certainly does. Now, Drudge, on the other hand, you know, is all about Trump. So it's, you know, one-sided in that way. But you just have to know, you know, don't think that if they're not objective, you shouldn't think that they are. You need to know where they stand. And when they present themselves as conservative outlets, and they're not, you know, conservatives are divided on this. There's no question about it. But you need to know where people are coming from so that you know how to read what it is that they put. I always know that when I see Drudge. When during the primary, Matt Drudge drove me nuts because he really was just demonizing Ted Cruz and praising Donald Trump. So as long as you know that, you can gather your information with better intelligence. You can still use it, but understand that there's a total bias. And I think it's shameful. Like Newsmax should be purporting, you know, to be this conservative outlet. Not so much when behind the scenes they're colluding with the Hillary campaign. So this is where we stand. And what does all this mean? It means that, like on Sunday, yesterday, the Washington Post has declared Mrs. Clinton the winner. And this is what they want to create, an inevitability so that you will give up. So you'll think, what's the use? We're fighting, and what's the use? Look at this. We're just losing. We fight, and we prevail, and then we go backwards. Yeah, well, that may be true, and I would say to you, you know, this reminds me of the biblical principle of not being weary in well-doing. You know, what's the well-doing? So some of you who are not Trump supporters think that I mean supporting Donald Trump. I mean well-doing, seeking the welfare of your country, the benefit of your country, pushing back, stopping the destruction in any way that you can. And it might mean voting for Donald Trump, might mean supporting him. But you know, last Thursday, many of you heard an interview I did with the former president of the Senate in Haiti, Bernard, and his last name is Sandik, something like that. So he's hard to spell, hard to pronounce. It was stunning. And if you haven't heard it, go to our Facebook page or go to the podcast and look for it. It's the report out of Haiti of how the Clinton Foundation, Bill and Hillary, raped the natural resources of Haiti. It is a shocking account. Gave the gold mine to Hillary Clinton's brother, Anthony Rodham. Gave it to him. Gave the cell phone service, did away with all the cell phone service in Haiti and created one company and gave it to one of Bill Clinton's best friends who's making millions, using taxpayer dollars to establish it, taking in millions of dollars worldwide to help the poor, suffering people of Haiti and putting it back in their pockets, giving the contracts to their friends who then turned around and put the money back in the Clinton Foundation. It is a shocking story. So now, in the New York Times yesterday, there's this long article, Haiti and Africa Projects Shed Light on Clinton's Public-Private Web. Well, it's a long article, and trust me, it is an absolute puff piece about Cheryl Mills and her, how she helped this company, this Korean company, that factory that went into Haiti, and there was, you know, they made sure that they complied with the rules. It's a total cover piece. That's why I tell you that if you listen to that interview I did, and I'm not the only one who's talked to Bernard, but that interview that we did was just amazing. It was heartbreaking. You will see that the New York Times is covering for the corruption, the criminal activity of the Clinton Foundation. So, and then we move to something else before we run out of time here, because this is what is at stake. I want to read, this is an article we will put on our Facebook page in case I run out of time here. It probably is one of the most impactful articles I've read this morning. It's by Julia Hahn, and it's titled, Criminal Aliens Sexually Assault 70,000 American Women, but Paul Ryan targets Trump. In July of 2015, an illegal alien allegedly broke into the home of a 64-year-old Air Force veteran, Marilyn Ferris, while she slept in her bedroom. Using a claw hammer, the illegal alien and his accomplice began savagely beating the elderly woman, according to police. Authorities say they shattered her eye sockets, strangled her, broke her neck bone, raped her, and left her for dead. Ferris, described by her family as a gentle woman, desperately tried to fight back as she was pinned down in her bed under the heavy weight of her assailant as he was crushing the bones in her face with his hammer. Ferris died a few days later in the hospital. The illegal alien accused of assaulting Ferris had been arrested 6 times in just the 15 months leading up to her rape and murder, but he was never removed from the country. There is no public record that House Speaker Paul Ryan has ever spoken out about Ferris's sexual assault. Instead, 5 months after Ferris' sexual assault, Speaker Ryan voted to grant federal funding to continue the sanctuary policies which local authorities say were responsible for Ferris' death. In 2014, when Ferris' assailant had been arrested on prior felony drug and assault charges, ICE issued a detainer for the illegal alien, but the Santa Maria's Sheriff's Office declined to honor ICE's detainer because of a local sanctuary policy. Instead, the illegal alien with prior sexual assault charges was allowed to remain in the U.S., eventually going on to brutally rape and kill Ferris. And on it goes. He said, Santa Maria Police Chief Ralph Martin says, I am not remiss to say that from Washington, D.C. to Sacramento, there's a blood trail into the bedroom of Marilyn Ferris. Yet late last year, when Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions tried to put forward a proposal that would have included language to end in the end-year omnibus spending bill to end sanctuary cities, Ryan failed to include the language. As a result, Ryan's omnibus allowed the lawless sanctuary cities policy and the victimization of innocent American women to continue. 70,000 sexual offenses attached to the incarcerated criminal alien population so far. Ryan has remained passive and quiet as criminal aliens have assaulted tens of thousands of American women, but when an 11-year-old audio tape emerged of Donald Trump caught on a hot mic discussing women in crass terms, Ryan declared himself sickened and spoke out. I am sickened by what I hear today. Women are to be championed and revered, not objectified. The day after Paul Ryan was sickened by Trump's decade-old comments, police say a 35-year-old illegal immigrant from El Salvador broke into the home of a Texas family in the middle of the night, kidnapped the family's 6-year-old daughter while her parents were asleep, took the girl to a park, and raped her. There is no public record of Speaker Ryan speaking out against the alleged sexual assault of the 6-year-old girl, nor did Ryan seem to feel the need to take immediate action that would prevent future assaults. Ryan's statement describing Trump's comments as sickening came the same night that WikiLeaks revealed that Hillary Clinton had privately told a group of foreign bankers that her dream was to enact open trade and open borders. Speaker Ryan's record of open borders advocacy syncs up with Clinton's dream, as well as the agendas of wealthy Republican donors like the Koch brothers. And this article goes on and on. The day after Trump's strong debate performance against Clinton, Ryan made headlines by telling GOP House members that he would not defend their party's nominee, who was overwhelmingly selected by the Republican voters, whom Ryan is supposed to represent. At the same time, former Ryan advisor Dan Senor urged members of corporate media not to talk about Trump's success at the debate, to instead focus on the decade-long leaked audio recording of Trump and Billy Bush. And we have the quote of what he said. We know what Ryan's aide told the media to say. Not to focus on Trump's success, but to focus on the video. So we're going to put this again on our Facebook page. The point is that Americans are suffering under this elite left and right ruling our country. And Donald Trump, right or wrong, CAD or not, is the voice of the outside. That's why they hate him. He wants to close the borders, make sure we actually have a country left to protect Americans, to reinstall law and order. That's why many, many people are voting for him. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.